I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In a season that's been perplexing, mind-numbing, unfortunate, pretty much just god-awful, the Toronto Raptors find themselves ahead of the trade deadline as potential sellers. And here to talk about it, Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports, senior NBA reporter, senior NBA writer. Hello down south. Hello down there. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Just, you know, after that Hawks game, I was admittedly very, very, very sad. Not even annoyed. It's like, it's just sad now that this is where the Raptors season is going. They had a few good performances against the Hawks or against the Hornets. Granted, they are the Hornets, but you're just looking for some momentum to be built with this team as they look to kind of figure out their season, but it is just getting worse. And now we get to the trade deadline. And that's been something that I think a lot of fans are just looking at, is like the countdown to that, to where the Raptors are going to be deciding potentially, you know, where they're going to be going this season, next season, and so forth. And there are a few players that are up for player options. They're going to opt out, and things can get really, really interesting in Toronto. So for you, I guess just your opening thoughts on like the Toronto Raptors, their season. Did you kind of see it playing out this way, or is this as surprising to you as it is to me?
Yeah, I think anyone expecting this current Raptors predicament at season's end would have been lying to you. Yeah. And I think particularly the Raptors front office was expecting this to be a lot better, be, you know, more in the range where the Pacers and the Knicks are right now, right? Like right outside that cusp of the top tier contenders, maybe showing enough that they're one move away to really moving into that top tier of contenders, maybe, you know, being where kind of Cleveland is, like the younger team on the rise, kind of nipping at the heels of those top tier, you know, the Celtics and the Bucks, and, you know, throw Philly in there. So I think, unfortunately for Raptors fans, obviously things have not gone so well. I do expect to see some movement here. I don't know how much. I think one thing that's been pretty clear from everyone I've spoken with, you know, agents to players, people on the team, people at other teams, seems like the Raptors will be, you know, holding their cards until the final minute and probably not showing their hand too soon. Remember last year that Goran Dragic first round pick package was kind of floating around the league for weeks, and they waited and then they waited and they waited and they finally went out and got Thaddeus Young with that package, yeah. Which maybe also kind of was a factor into where they are now. Thaddeus Young's a great player, but was he missing big man piece?
I should say that we're talking to this Jake, team needed before the Raptors Knicks game that's going to be taking going down in a few hours. You're actually going to it, right? That should be fun. Third time they played each other in a few weeks, actually. So
I will be there.
Let's start here. CJ McCollum had a comment actually yesterday about the Toronto Raptors. And he said there are rumors about some of the players on the team not being happy because of tampering, being smart. I can't talk about it, but I think there's going to be some movement is what he's getting at. So just on that, I mean, what do you know about that?
Yeah. Look, obviously, for Raptors fans paying attention, I became a little bit of a public enemy number one, I think, for the Raptors fan base this summer when I reported that there was at least the thought around the league that OG Anunoby was dissatisfied with his role. And yeah. I really do think that there was a ton of effort being made by his representation to kind of indicate around the league that he would be open to being traded if that were to arise. And then
Clutch Sports, that's his, yes. Those are his reps.
And then of course, you know, Nick Nurse said something along those same lines, you know, him and OG have discussed his role and blah, blah, blah. So I think, look, there's a ton of players on this team that could and do thrive with the ball in their hands. And there isn't exactly a pure point guard on this roster as well. You've got tons of players looking to have creation opportunities, pick and roll opportunities where they're the handler. And on top of that, you know, clearly anyone following this team has seen and been very aware that the starters get a ton of minutes. So there aren't a lot of, there aren't as many ball handling opportunities that everyone would want. There aren't as many minutes as everyone would want. And you have a head coach who is, as you talked about before we went on to record, becoming a bit more prickly by the week in press conferences and has been taking like pointed, I don't want to say shots, but like he's been very stern in his evaluations of his players. And that I don't think has gone over swimmingly with that locker room. So that's really all much more I can say right now. I'm definitely going to be going into the locker room pre and post game and trying to talk to these guys and see what they'd be willing to divulge and kind of hear them here. Because all that stuff I've gotten so far has been secondhand. Yeah. I haven't seen the players up close since very early in the season when they came to play Brooklyn. So, but that's kind of the sense I've gotten.
And there was reported some one-on-ones that Nick Nurse did with assorted players recently when the Raptors simply, they weren't playing well, things weren't going according to plan, and he had some one-on-ones, and they weren't received well by everyone. Now, with that said, Chris Boucher, Hustle Play, he was on our podcast, and he said that he felt that they were necessary to have those one-on-ones. So is there locker room division? Is just like the Nick Nurse methods not being received well by everyone? I mean, that could very well be the case. That's just the nature of coaching in some, to some degree, is that, you know, some players are going to gravitate towards what you're saying. Other times, some players will not. Then be the breaks. And now the Raptors find themselves just outside the play-in tournament, and this Knicks game, along with the games coming up, a lot of road games. They got this West Coast trip that is absolutely brutal. I earmarked it at the beginning of the season. I'm like, this is brutal. This is like a 7-game, 8-game stretch is going to decide their season. And, you know, you might say that's already been decided because of how they played so far, but this is going to put the nail in the coffin if it doesn't go according to plan. Or maybe, who knows, man, maybe this is what gets them together. Last season it happened. They had some injuries, but they went on the West Coast and they went 4-2, and then they just started winning games and everything was honky-dory. But in the end, here we are now. How are the Raptors, the management staff, Masai, Bobby, how are they evaluating this team?
I think they're going to be ultimately evaluating this team in the context of, can they compete deep into the postseason? This is not a team that has gotten out of the first round since the year after that finals run. Yeah. So that's a long stretch when that is your expectation, right? When you make the finals, when you go right back and have a deep postseason run, in your defense. And then obviously there's been so much wonky, you know, just crap that's come to this team. I mean, the fact that they had to play in Tampa, the whole season post COVID quarantine. But to go back to how the front office is evaluating this, like at the showcase, which was basically a month ago now in December, I think the first day was like December 19th, if I remember correctly, that Monday, like Toronto executives were telling people from rival teams and anyone who asked that they were evaluating. They were obviously not thrilled with their current position, but they were also still optimistic and hoping that this team that they put together and saw make a late season rise up to the sixth seed last year could potentially do a similar thing. That homestand was coming up, and maybe this was going to be a team that would turn into a buyer ahead of the deadline. So that's the ceiling that they were looking at. Obviously, the results have not been that way. So I do think that they're going to do something. That seems to be pretty clear. That's going to be the lead of my story that comes out tomorrow, where there are trade deadlines that come and go and teams don't do anything. I mean, the Raptors did it. That Kyle Lowry 2021, you know, sweepstakes, right, where you had Philly and you had the Lakers and other teams checking in, they ultimately decided to hold pat. That's not going to be the case this season, by all accounts. By all accounts, the Raptors are going to do something. They've been waiting to evaluate to do something. And with that ultimate goal of how can this team have its best route forward towards really moving forward in the postseason. And that might be, I mean, they're not that far away from the bottom five of you know, the reverse order, you know, the lottery standings right now. So if you only have to dispatch one of those two guys in Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. who have player options coming up, or maybe it's OG Anunoby because he's going to have probably the richest offers coming in, and you can find yourself having a pretty easy route from there to the bottom of the standings without having to do a whole fire sale. And then you get another top five pick like Scotty Barnes, and you springboard forward into the postseason next year. Like, that's something I think that will be on Raptors personnel's minds for sure.
It's crazy that we're here, because I mean, coming into the season, the flaws of the team were obvious, and they're still there, right? That's a decision that management decided to go, is that they did not address those, the rim protection and the lack of guard depth. They didn't address those because they felt like, building off of last season, Fred's going to be healthy. He wasn't healthy at the second half of last year. It's like, maybe you can really make something happen. But for whatever reason, it's still confusing to me, and maybe this goes to CJ McCollum's comments, that it just hasn't worked out. And sometimes it's the defense, other times it's the offense, other times it's a lack of depth, other times it's the lack of shooting, even from players that we're talking about right now that could be dealt in a couple of weeks here. It just hasn't worked out. And the Raptors, we know that they are not a team that is going to sit in limbo. They're not going to be in the middle. They're either going to push forward or they're going to take a few steps back. And now at this deadline, they have a few options. They have a lot of options. That's one of the beauties of the Toronto Raptors franchise, is that they always give themselves a lot of options. So they can do a whole an array of different things at the deadline. And, you know, where they are now, I'm curious what your take is. Like, is there something when it comes to Fred, Fred VanVleet, let's start with him. Fred VanVleet. It's like, what is your sense on what could be happening with him in a few weeks, and what is his interest and not being with the Toronto Raptors?
Yeah. So I look at predicting and kind of understanding the trade market and free agency as if I was the 31st front office, right? So to do that, I mean, you kind of have to look at all angles of the transaction, which for this question, it's Fred VanVleet's interest in Toronto, or potentially interest outside of it. It's the Raptors' interest in keeping him, and at what salary number. And then it would be rival teams' interest in acquiring him, and then at what salary number. And let's start with the last one I just said, because I don't currently see a ton of teams who are searching for $30 million point guards, starting high caliber starting level point guards right now. Especially on that salary. You look at Kyle Lowry in Miami, look at D'Angelo Russell in Minnesota. Those are two names that have been floating around the trade market as well. Doesn't seem like a huge, huge, huge market for that type of salary to be moved right now. Fred's a little bit different in that he's younger than Kyle Lowry, and he's considered to be more of a two-way presence than D'Angelo is, and more of a just sturdy floor general, right? But at the same time, I think there's definitely mutual interest on both sides of Toronto and Fred, from everything I've heard, to have him stick around. It doesn't seem, typically when a contract is coming up and a player option is on the table, and that leads to a trade situation, it's something like Gary Trent, where the expectation is that the salary number the player is searching for is a little bit higher than that player's valuation, or the thought that that player wouldn't want to stay there, i.e. Kyle Kuzma in Washington. I'm not saying that is going to be the case, but there is definitely a belief around the league, right, that Kyle Kuzma might not want to stick around Washington, and that could prevent, or that could preempt a trade here at the deadline. But with Fred, to bring this to a close, I do think that there is plenty of opportunity for him to stick around, to re-sign, depending on what this direction the Raptors choose to go, because you mentioned, you know, something earlier about him being hurt and at the end of last season, and kind of hoping he would be able to reemerge this year, and the lack of focus on point guard depth. There is definitely a thought that the Raptors have kicked around, it seems, that, you know, what if we just don't have a point guard, right? There was a lot of success in the postseason with Pascal and Scotty handling ball. Yep. So maybe at this point in time, maybe that is something that really started to kick around. I'm not sure that's the case. I think Fred has been so valuable for this post Kyle Lowry era here. But then again, when someone, I remember speaking to someone with the Raptors during Kyle Lowry's last season, and his thought was, we kind of need to move this guy to open the door for other people to take a step forward. And that might end up being the case with Fred too.
Yeah. Or we could be having the same conversation about Fred and Scotty, which is the interesting part. Okay. So that's Fred. And he did appear on JJ Redick's podcast recently. He talked about his role, how it's changed, how it's impacted his play. And then also he was asked about his contract status. And he said that, you know, he wasn't given an offer by the Raptors during the offseason, and that, you know, essentially he was going to make it hard on them and they were going to make it hard on him, which is very common, right? That's how negotiations work. The player is trying to get as much as they can, and the team is trying to withhold as much money as possible to build out their rosters. So I don't really make too much of those comments, but it's, you would think though, that, you know, with the Raptors and Fred, the loyalty that they've had to each other and the good working relationship, no earlier than like this season, right? Opening or media day. You had Nick and Masai Ujiri talking about how great Fred is and how impactful he's been, his career trajectory. It's unprecedented for an undrafted player to get to where he is now. So I would not be surprised if the Raptors kept him around. Gary Trent Jr., though, is a bit of a different story. What are you gathering from him?
I mean, across the board, whoever I've spoken to the last 2 weeks, the consistent answer has been that Gary Trent is the most likely trade candidate. And someone I spoke to in a front office, an assistant general manager in the Eastern Conference, was pretty much confident that not just that they'll listen, but the Raptors will actively look to move. That was one guy's opinion. But I think it's very, very similar to the Norm Powell trade that ironically brought Gary Trent in the door, in that, look, there was someone who wasn't exactly the Raptors' best player, but definite starter level. There will be definite interest in him on the free agent market, in that everyone's looking for two-way wings. Gary Trent certainly is one of those. Not exactly the most consistent offensive threat, not exactly the most consistent shooter, not exactly the most consistent guy who can get to the rim and finish. But he has that potency and he has that potential. Yeah. And when he's on,
right? 23. Lots of time.
When he's on, he's on. So I think, he is young. So unfortunately, the business side of the game, like he definitely wants a significant pay bump from that $18 million, which people were considering at the time, and a little bit of a steep amount. So I'm not so certain that the Raptors see his next price tag as something they're willing to pay. And I think I don't know what they'll be looking to acquire back from him for him. But I am expecting that if they do take a step towards selling, which at this point in time seems you know, more likely than not, he's the first name they'll look to move, even though he probably would bring back the lowest value of all these guys we're talking about. He is the easiest salary number to move, and any team that would like to acquire him, which two teams I've heard have been New York and Phoenix. I don't know how strong that interest is, but those are just two teams I've been told to look out for. I mean, if a team wants to get him this summer, now is the time to go splurge and get him. So you already have opportunities to re-sign him via bird rights.
What's interesting about the Raptors is that you have Scotty Barnes, who has been emerging lately. They have him as a screener, as a middle of the floor playmaker, and he's been thriving. And so he hasn't had the best season, not similar to, you know, his rookie year. Sophomore slumps have been a factor. Teams are guarding him differently, but now look at him now. And some of his numbers have been terrific, and he's been put in a position to be, you know, the player that he wants to be, right? That may not be the person who's at the top of the floor, but he's able to, you know, come off screens and he's making decisions quickly. And so you want to tap into that. You want him to learn and continue to grow. And then you have Pascal Siakam, all NBA player, you know, top 10, top 15, whatever you want to say, but he is that kind of player. And going forward, like, you're trying to build out a roster that is going to be able to contend. And between Fred and Gary, if you have OG too, and mind you, all these players that I'm talking about, Scotty, Pascal, and OG, They're under contract next season for 2023, 2024, but the following year, they're all going to be, something could be happening after that. You know, I think Scotty's up for a rookie extension. OG has a player option for 2024, 2025. He's going to opt out. Then Pascal Siakam is going to be UFA. So they're all going to be here next season, I would think, you know, assuming that they're not traded. And if that's your two, three, and four positions, what are you going to be doing with the five, and who is going to be your point guard? And those pieces are very important, you know, within vision.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vision 6-9. If you look at those three players, obviously, you know, defensive potential, ability to run the floor, ability to do make some shots, right? Especially with OG and Anobi, but you're lacking shooting and you're lacking size. And Christian Coloco, I mean, I talked to him last week actually, and it was a terrific chat, but one of the things I said to him is like, man, I see you after every single practice, you have like 10 coaches working with you because the Raptors know that they need a rim protector. And hey, if why go get a rim protector if we have one at home? And it'd obviously be a lot cheaper if they're able to plug him into that center position and make him their starting center. And then also you still have Precious Achiuwa, who could be like your small ball center. You have a few more options after that. But that point guard position or that fifth starter is really important because the Raptors are lacking things. And, you know, Fred hasn't had the best season, at least from his standards, but he is still a valuable member of the starting lineup. And you mentioned floor general, just being a heady player, you can see why he could be a fit. It just hasn't gone, you know, the way you want it to go this season. I have kicked around the idea, like, what if they decided to just keep Gary Trent and they did move Fred and how would that work? But then you are pigeonholing yourself a little bit to having Scotty or Pascal as your five. And that's still, you're not solving the rim protection issue. So some things they obviously have to figure out. And, you know, I don't think the Raptors have to rebuild their team because there's too much talent here. That's why we're talking about these players that other teams want. But there does need to be a bit of a retool in how they're going to be going forward. And I think that's what's intriguing about this deadline is that the Raptors could, you know, decide some of these things before next season. And who knows, maybe this season they're able to figure some things out. They get into the play-in. I still think, you know, play-in experience is good for Scotty Barnes, especially if he's going to be in this role. And last season, you know, he got hurt in game one and that was it. And then he came back in game six or something, like game six or seven, and he just wasn't the same player. So that is valuable experience for someone that you're looking as a franchise player going forward. Okay. That's Gary. That's Fred. Outside of those two, the Raptors have a lot of tradable contracts. You go down the list, like it could be an Otto Porter Jr. who has a player option next season. What does he decide to do? Ken Birch, Thad Young, Chris Boucher, all these guys could be involved in a trade for, you know, Gary Trent Jr. or Fred VanVleet. Are there other non-core players that you're seeing some interest in, or maybe the Raptors could be looking at moving as well?
I would be shocked if Otto Porter didn't pick up his player option. And I would be surprised if I'd be surprised if a team I mean, that's unfortunate, right? Like, he had a really strong postseason, gets a nice contract from it, and just doesn't play any factor in this season where Raptors were clearly hoping he could provide a lot of punch off the bench, necessary shooting, hasn't just even been a factor at all. That's disappointing.
Yeah,
I could certainly see a team going and acquiring Thad or Ken Birch, but the return back is, or those guys being an additional player, like you said, in a bigger trade. But I don't think you've got a ton of teams lining up to go acquire those guys, and I can't imagine the return is going to be too great either. So, but look, like those back end of rotation guys, they're not really playing a ton of minutes right now in this current Raptors rotation anyway. So,
yeah.
I'm not so certain like how much moving them would really move the needle in terms of like plummeting down the standings, if you will. But I mean, Thad's a veteran that wants to play in a competitive postseason environment. So sure. If they do decide to take a step in you know, a tanking direction, I could see them looking to move him just to do right by this veteran that they signed to a short-term contract this summer. That's a thought I could see coming to fruition, but there isn't. I mean, Malachi Flynn, I think, could have some retrade value in that. You know, he was a first round pick. There was a lot of interest in him around the league. Like at that time, he hasn't exactly had a total runway to flourish in Toronto. And teams love to take shots on former first round picks. The pedigree that you have as a recruit, as a prospect, you know, from high school rankings through the draft, like that sticker shock, that shine stays on you until it doesn't. I mean, Bruno Caboclo, to throw out a name, was still getting a lot of opportunity around the league for a long, long time, even though it never really clicked. So I think of all the people who are not starter level players on this Raptors team, Malachi Flynn probably would have the most amount, the highest amount of opposing teams probably knocking on Toronto's door to see what his availability would be.
Bruno was in Memphis last year, right?
He's in the league now. I believe he's in the Mexico City Capitanes.
There you go. Hey man, like you talk about Vision 6-9. I mean, that man's a fit in that way. I guess Masai was onto something with it. Unfortunately, it hasn't really worked out for him.
Is Vision 6-9 like a full trademark like team slogan, or that's just something that media fans, people following the team have kind of like, because trust the process, like for example in Philly, was not a thing the team wanted to even be affiliated with for a while. They were kind of like distancing themselves from it. Like, is that a team sponsored thing, or more of like a hoopla around the franchise?
It's a hoopla, but what's funny is that they don't actually have that many players who are 6'9". Most of them are 6'8" or 6'7". But I think that when they had Pascal, Scotty, and OG, especially when they got Scotty through that Tampa season, which, I mean, hey, it wasn't a great season. It was terrible for everyone, but they got Scotty Barnes out of it. So, I mean, it'd be what it'd be. It's just like Pound the Rock with Dwayne Casey. That became a slogan around here. You got to pound the rock if you guys want to get better. His voice, that's the man right there. Pound the Rock. And that's not said anymore around here, but he lives in infamy because of that particular comment. He'll always have a place in Raptors history. And also, he was a very good coach, and I'm happy he's making a home there in Detroit.
We'll see how long that home lasts, unfortunately.
That is true. I mean, as we saw with him around here, you know, he's a great coach, but can he win you a championship? I don't know. But as he said, I love that he said this too, after the Raptors won a championship, he's like, yeah, I mean, if you give me Kawhi Leonard and Marc Gasol and Danny Green, hey, maybe I win a championship too. But we'll never know. We'll never know. From the Raptors' perspective, in terms of players coming back, what are they looking to acquire? I mean, they're always looking for draft capital. Every team's looking for draft capital. They like, the Raptors like to build, you know, through within development of their players. They're very proud of their development system. Delano Banton right now, like he's spent a good portion of the past few weeks in the G League because, you know, Malachi Flynn has kind of harnessed minutes and they just want Delano to keep on playing. So what are they looking to get at the deadline? We know, like we already mentioned, like the issues that they have, but is there anything that you've, from what you understand, that they're trying to acquire in February?
So this current transaction cycle, I have not heard. And I mean, I've been looking, have not heard. I don't think the Raptors have even signaled things that are positions that they're actually like targeting right now. I think they're going to play the role of listener here with an eye towards the positions that they want. And, you know, you talked about rim protection. That's been the position that it seems like Toronto's really looked at actually with intention, the last, you know, the trade deadline last year, this summer, you know, Kristaps Porzingis was a name they were looking at with that Goran Dragic package that it didn't work out.
And they really were looking at him?
That was a real conversation. Yeah. Oh, okay. Besides Washington, honestly, the Raptors were the most serious potential landing spot for Kristaps Porzingis last year. Okay. I mean, I think both with the DeAndre Ayton restricted free agency and then with his offer sheet to Indiana that put Miles Turner's situation there in flux, which this is also that little sliding doors moment is a perfect example of how fluid the league can be and how fluid all this stuff we're talking about with the Raptors can be, because there was a chance that the Pacers got DeAndre Ayton and then moved Miles Turner out the door. And that was less than, you know, 6 months ago. And now you've got Rick Carlisle in post-game press conferences saying Miles Turner didn't get pulled from this game because we're trading him. Like, I don't want to trade Miles Turner. I love Miles Turner. He's here, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, but during all that, like, there definitely was interest from Toronto in both Ayton and Miles Turner. I mean, they checked in on Rudy Gobert too. I was told recently by someone with the Jazz that was not exactly like a serious thing. I think probably because the Jazz asked for OG Anunoby and the Raptors were not interested in that swap. So I definitely would look at centers. And in terms of pick stuff, I mean, right now, you know, Detroit says it with Bojan Bogdanovic. Like, I'm trying to think of other examples, but right now unprotected picks are all the rage, right? Yeah, I mean, there was a time period where there was no such thing as an unprotected pick getting traded, but you saw three for DeJounte Murray go out the door. You saw four or five for Rudy Gobert, depending on exactly
a billion.
Yeah. And there's pick swaps in there. Like, Donovan Mitchell had unprotected picks and pick swaps. If the Raptors were to ever move OG Anunoby, that haul would be similar to what we saw for at least DeJounte Murray, where you're getting multiple unprotected picks throwing a swap. That seems to be pretty clear from everything I've heard. But in terms of like Gary and Fred, I mean, I think the Raptors are just going to take a wait and see approach. And from everything I've heard, like traditionally, historically, the way they operate at the deadline is they take and make a lot of calls. They throw up their options on the board. I don't know if it's an actual board or a proverbial board, but you know, they take their options, and then as the going, you know, comes down to the final wire, they make their decision. So I do think they're, you know, instead of like teams hunting for this and that, that's not the impression I get. I think they're going to be more passive about it and let opportunities come to them and then kind of make a decision.
OG Anunoby, what is his appetite to be dealt? There were the reports before the season started that, you know, he was unhappy with his role, and then he kind of scoffed at it, saying, nope, didn't come from me. But I mean, we know there's a game within the game. And I don't think the Raptors want to move him. I think they understand what they have. I mean, for a little while, he was like in the running as a conversation of Defensive Player of the Year, right? Not too long ago. And he still is kind of that caliber. It's just the Raptors aren't really performing to where they want to be. So his name isn't going to really, you know, gravitate towards voters. But in the end, he is still one of the best perimeter defenders, one of the most versatile defenders in the NBA. Do they want to move him, or are they just thinking like, no, he's irreplaceable?
I don't think they want to move him. I don't think they will move him, to be honest. I think the only way, because look, when the Nets were dealing with Kevin Durant's trade request last summer, they didn't want to move him either.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, if they got an offer from Toronto or from Boston or from whoever that just knocked them over at clear value that you have to take, there's people there who would have taken it. So maybe there is a scenario, you know, you look at a team like New Orleans, and I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying they've had legitimate conversations there, but New Orleans is a very active team and they've got a treasure trove of picks. If New Orleans decided to throw, you know, someone like Herb Jones, who is an all-NBA defensive caliber player as well, and a bunch of picks, we're talking, you know, 3-4 picks, plus maybe another, they're going to have to throw another player to match the salary. And it's something that makes Toronto's ears perk up. No, I think there is a chance. I think there is a chance. Just knowing that, you know, go to DeJounte Murray again. He was dealt from San Antonio for the fact that they got that impressive haul for him. Mm-hmm. But also the fact that his contract situation is very similar to OG's and that he's going to be expiring contract in 2024. And with the way the CBA is structured and how, quote unquote, low his salary figure is compared to what he'll be able to command there, the Raptors will not be able to extend him. OG Anunoby is essentially guaranteed to reach unrestricted free agency in 2024. And if you have any fear that he's not going to want to stick around or that there will be teams who will throw him an opportunity, you know, Jeremy Grant, for example, in recent years, who by all accounts took the same exact money from Detroit that he was offered in Denver because he wanted to be a number one. Yeah. You know, if there's a team that has a clear spot for him to have a bona fide number two, number one type opportunity, like that's a scary prospect. So I could see the Raptors really listening if they get an offer that just blows their doors off. Yeah. But everyone knows that OG Anunoby is a favorite of Masai Ujiri. And I think that blow your doors off benchmark is going to have to be legitimate. They're going to have to be wowed by an offer to move that guy.
Sure. Does he want to leave?
I don't think he, from everything I've heard, I don't think he like is banging on the door to get out. But I mean, when he talks to Tyrese Halliburton after that game on January 2nd, I believe it was, and you know, he played in Indiana, like people are looking at that. I think there's certainly, you know, an idea of like, what could the grass be greener in 30 or 29 other markets? I think that's definitely a thought, but like, is he asking for a trade request? Is he like demanding to get out? Is he wanting to get out? I don't think so. But there's just too much smoke there to not have, sure. to not be somewhat real. Like I think there's definitely a wandering eye and definitely interest and curiosity to see what could be out there for him in a different situation.
Okay. So Jake, I mean, this was a great conversation, I guess. Closing thoughts on the Raptors and going forward with them. How much are they impacting the trade market? Like how much are they going to be controlling how teams approach their deadline? Because we know, I mean, just like we saw with Kyle Lowry, like they held on to that card for a very, very, very long time. And they ultimately decided not to do anything at the deadline. And then eventually there was, you know, the swap with the Miami Heat, and things went according to their plan. They got Precious Achiuwa out of it, so they were happy about that. But yeah, how much are the Raptors going to be dictating what happens on Feb 9?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, because the second the Raptors creeped into the equation for Kevin Durant, like the market changed, right? And I think from a lot of what I've heard, some teams are a bit curious as to how much the Raptors have been talking and wondering if they're trying to put blood in the water to kind of control the marketplace and to kind of have all these calls coming in and to really, you know, think about every team as a balloon, you know, to hold all these balloons kind of then decide which ones to let go, kind of keep everyone wrapped up in what the Raptors are doing. And therefore they can kind of control the market here. If you're, because all those guys we just talked about, Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent, OG Anunoby, and if you want to put Pascal Siakam in that conversation, you can. I'd be floored if they moved him, honestly. I think he wants to be there. International player who, you know, very much has been content and happy and thrilled to be in Toronto, and has embraced being the leader of this team in a post-Kawhi situation, right? Obviously, Fred is kind of that leader in terms of spirit and mentality, but Pascal has been in terms of the ball is in his hands when the game is on the line in most scenarios, right? Or when this team needs someone to go get buckets, it's Pascal Siakam who does that. All those guys are going to be either the best or in the top couple of players available at their position. So the Raptors will be able to kind of hold those markets hostage a little bit as long as they're flirting Oh, we might. Yeah. Oh, we're listening. So
yeah,
there could be a clear opportunity, to your point, of the Raptors kind of playing, you know, the central figure of this, you know, domino effect here, which would be really interesting because they're a front office that obviously has a ton of staying power and a ton of support from ownership and Larry Tannenbaum, that like they'll have flexibility to do pretty much anything they want versus other teams. Other executives certainly have other pressures at play, other expectations, not as much of a rope. And that will create an advantage in a lot of scenarios in terms of, you know, just like we talked about Kyle Lowry, they just can decide to not do anything. I don't think they will. No one's expecting that to be the case, but that's a threat that will loom on the table.
It's going to be interesting. When's your Raptor notebook coming out?
Tomorrow morning, Tuesday. So I tried not to dump everything out, but I said what I could.
That's fair. That's fair.
And we'll learn some more once we talk to the players today.
Sounds good. Jake Fisher, Yahoo Sports, senior NBA writer. Thank you, man. This was informative and a great chat.
Appreciate it.
Talk soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.